Thank you, Anna. And I'm so glad to be here. This is my first in-person reading in a couple of years. Can you hear? Okay, excellent. Hearing aids. Check. Glasses. Check. Okay, I'm going to read just really new work because it's first time reading in 2 years. So in February, we lost my nephew unexpectedly. And he left behind a little girl who is turning 3 in July. And she's amazing and magical to me. She still doesn't speak. And I found that hanging out with her, I don't know if it's because of my hearing or what, I actually really like being with her. We communicate all the time. She signs a little bit. So this poem is called Every Laughing Bell. Every laughing bell belongs to a massive ear out there that holds us like a womb. Hanging out with a non-speaking child, a fairy-like, curious, joyful child, I start to think about how words chatter over so much, nor do I need to struggle to hear. My hearing's terrible with little kids. But one must find the child's face often, like you are the sun, and the face is the sun in the flower, though really it's the other way around. Those common white butterflies we follow like chyrons across our field of vision. Elbows out, she covers her ears at the sound of a siren wailing, twisting the tail of the day's full-bodied light. Then I think of another siren arriving too late to save her father. Then I do the same with my ears and mirror her tiny flinching face. Birds chatter over our screen. Your third eye. And in these difficult times, your third eye rhymes obliquely with hard way, curd way, curd thigh. Your third eye divines and defines precarious as before the cavity, or more terrifyingly, before the abyss. Notes that sponsor and responsible share a root that puts it all on your shoulders. Wear the padded suit jacket from the 80s you thrifted after Christmas to soften the chafe against those brittle bone sentinels. In these times where fact and fiction have gunkily entangled, your third eye is the navel that once tied you to the larger mother who abides not time or space and never favors, but always fortifies you. Your third eye in a sinus infection is a small plane riding through a slow rolling tea storm. The ancestral memory of the first human fool to stare straight at the sun in eclipse, your third eye, the Solomon, who threatens division, absurdist and fantasy, in hopes that horror leads both sides to reason, a great strategy when it actually works, but otherwise the reason the third eye must hide where it's easy to forget. W.C. Williams called the third eye imagination, but synecdochally, with art as a context for consciousness, indeed, it can be useful in making the inverse of a chamois, a clarifying clutch, and men die miserably for lack, ack, ack, ack. And what if the third eye's just the program we run by, the place where we pick up the stem? Okay, this is a dream poem, but I pretend it isn't. I dreamed that I was driving and I was behind a white service vehicle. Well, you'll see. Okay. But I don't say it's a dream. The Duende, Babcock Boulevard. I was following a white service van on the back of which was painted in yellow words, With idea, sound, gesture, the duende delights in struggling freely with the creator on the edge of the pit. When the van stopped abruptly, my car ran into it. On the radio, a father in Texas sobbed for his daughter shot dead in her school. I waited for him to get his words out. Pray for my wife. She blames herself, before opening the door to inspect the damage. Only Mexico comes close to Spain, Lorca wrote, in openness to the possibility of death. The van driver told me not to worry about it. He'd been listening to the radio too, and the young father's breaking voice filled him to the sole of his left foot, which pressed down on the brake before he could remember where he was. Low-key prayer to St. Brecht. These are one foot in front of the other sorts of days. Safe now, but for how long? That's not the thing to think about. I play this game called work, this game called picking up at home and scrubbing out the cabinets, this game called family and friendship. The security I once felt in my world that some have never felt, this game of reading and writing and walking the dog, all the while it doesn't feel real or feels hyper-real while Russia bombards Ukraine, apartment complexes, bodies in the streets. This aches, and I must let it in and let it morph into courage to stockpile for when I need it most. Though it hits me hard, the news coverage, externally, internally, it's building and I'm terrified. Still, I should feel at least some of the pain on this earth, take that much of a load off fellow humans. Aside from some money, this time of attention, hurting attention, churning gut, such precarious life, the least I can do. Now I must turn it off, find myself here in this place, presently safe, presently the only adverb guaranteed, a fundamental truth we spend our lives ignoring, unless you make room for the unsafe in your safe present. Take in this wild energy, big yet small as the little mouse we live trapped and took to the wooded hillside. When R lifted the lid near some brush on some dirt, the baby squeaked out and looked up at him, unsure outdoors, very frightened. R had to nudge the little one out. What a brutal place this world can be for its many delights. No choice in the matter but survive or go dark. And then who are we? An American Dream. This is going to be, Vox Populi is going to publish this. This is a dream, an American dream. I dreamed I bought a gun at a Rite Aid. It was heavy, brightly colored, a girl gun. Then I ran into my Republican friend who was wearing fedora and pimp suit. I told him I had a gun, hoped it showed we shared common ground. I asked if he'd helped me take the bullets out. Loaded guns scared me. We went to his man cave, classic jazz on vinyl. My child asked, "Why are we here? This looks like a man cave." I praised her for being so perceptive. The base color of the gun was bubblegum. An impulse purchase, this gun, at the counter where candy forms a flank against health. It sat in my purse like a used tampon wrapped in TP. The mouth in my purse seemed to grimace, make my day. The last poem I'll read is, this is really me, so hope it's okay. Already in communion with vermicular rumors. V-brain starts when the windows open, beeline for collision, cliche but true. Those who won't let me gather my fill, I will sting. I'm not greedy, except maybe with time. Fly brain goes for the clickbait, the underbelly, gossip bears as if Shocker, people who have assholes often are. Thoughts that will feed on that shit for hours, sour and soften to wriggles until the next cycle. To temper the utterly abject fly, let's angelify it. That's right, butterfly. Analogically fitting to go from fecal foraging to full sailed flight, brightness, a pedigree of metamorphosis that's better than old money. Because sprightly, ephemeral, flames in a vacuum of no extremes, so no fire, no freeze, ease. Where the butterfly is Lorca's angel, and the bee is Lorca's muse, and in the fly lies the duende. How blessed is my human traffic in all three, albeit messy, confusing, neither damned nor saved, not triumphant, not depraved, already in communion with vermicular rumors, even as I flap these crappy wings.